Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
So there was the improv, and then there was Catch a Rising Star, and the comic strip. I remember seeing you at Catch a Rising Star too. Belcher yeah. was the MC. Adrian yes. Tulsh was the MC on Monday nights for open. And the shows, people don't realize. You know, I was telling someone last night I was out doing a set. The show started at 8 and went till 3 in the morning, and the audience
wide awake. See, I can't imagine back in 78, why was the crowd wide awake at 3 a.m. in the morning
right?
for some funny reason?
And then it would shift, you know, like people would leave and other people would come in and it was pretty much always packed, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It was the pre-boom was, they call the comedy boom when it went to TV. There was another boom before that. The live boom was just ahead of that. And no one really just says this was one separate boom of insane rock club. It was everyone that went to a rock club going over to another thing that kept them out of their homes.
You know, that's when I started. And to watch you and to watch, you know, Larry David do a joke and then throw the mic on the ground.
I would always wait to see. When I was going, you're on after Larry, and you had to sit really close to the edge of the bar by the wooden thing there because you hear the boom, 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 boom. Drink the rest of the beer. Get it. Okay, I gotta go.
Yeah. Oh my God, I remember.
I'm on.
I've said this once before, but these are the two things I remember. And I'm like a 19, 20 year old kid, and I'm like watching. Like that boom was like graduate school for me, you know, because I would go on after everyone left, but I watched everyone like Ronnie Shakes. Yeah. Oh, my God. He was amazing. But I remember that Larry used to get on stage. These are the two things. One time he got on stage and he said, if I at any point during my set go into Spanish, speaking Spanish, may I use the familiar two form with you?
And we were fucking cracking up. And then I remember once he went on stage, grabbed the mic, looked at the audience, and went, nah, and left.
Remember when Bob Shaw used to host?
Oh, I love Bob Shaw. Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
He did the wildest introductions everywhere. He would put these odd twists in your intro.
Yeah. Oh, those were the fucking days. And I mean, I, being the person who went on last most of the time, getting to watch everyone work was, and I knew I was funny because there'd be, you know, five people in the audience and the band would tell me I was funny and they had seen everything.
Yeah.
If the band said you were funny, then you were funny. You know,
they had to, because they had to sit through every motherfucking second of it.
Eddie Rabin, and they would have musicians go in. Pat Benatar, yeah.
Yes. That's right.
You know, remember? And Pat Benatar was managed by Rick Newman. And oh, God, it was.
Love you, Ricky.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
He's a great cat. A very menschy cat.
How did you, now you were very close with Robin Williams and did a lot of stuff on stage with him doing riffs and stuff. How did that start?
That started with my having been introduced to him by Elaine.
Oh.
And then we talked about our mutual heroes through life, one of whom being Jonathan Winters.
Jonathan Winters, yep.
A mutual hero, and Peter Sellers. Ding, ding.
Oh,
ding,
yeah, ding. Peter. Yeah, sorry.
And Charlie Chaplin, who were heroes of the physical, and then Peter Sellers would be improvisational in his acting parts.
Yes.
And, of course, Jonathan, improvisational in everything. And so right. I, through all of this, and then through Dan Pasternak, I got to be friends with Jonathan.
Right.
And,
you know, I know you say
all my heroes. It's interesting to have met almost all your heroes. I'm friends with John Cleese's daughter. I've met John and Camilla Chloe Cleese is a fine comedian and actor.
Right. You know, you say that you got your timing and words from your mother, but you know, jazz and improv are so similar and that's your father, that your ability to improv like that.
Now, there's two different categories.
Yeah.
One is mom actually being the influence through the way she did things.
Right.
And dad, the influence for how he laid them upon me with putting that needle down on that record.
Right.
Listen to this, man. And so he's being cool over here. Yeah. But he's laying me up on the shot to do all that other stuff by putting that on me there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an influence. It's an influence that he kind of knew he couldn't fully take advantage of.
Right. You got the best of both worlds there.
I lucked out some with them. You know, I'm sorry that their worlds took them where else that did because of the pains. And they were not the sorts that do harm to others, but perhaps to themselves.
Right. Yeah. Your father
There was
died.
No real remedy for PTSD and being in France in World War II and all of that.
Yeah. Your father served in World War II. He died at 52. I mean, you were, 18
pal,
years
what's
old?
What's the matter? What's the matter, Mac? You having trouble sleeping? Oh, yeah. You got a little of the shell shock? Tell you what. Go get yourself a martini. Yeah. Eat a dame. Eat a steak. Walk it off.
Right.
And every night, have another martini. And every night after that, have another martini. It'll help you get to sleep, bub. Maybe smoke a cigarette. Relax.
Right. And he died of cirrhosis of the liver. You were 18. I mean, that must have been... I mean, those are life-changing experiences. You're a different person before that happens than you are...
Yeah.
After
dad was still around, he'd be 101, coming up on 102 years old, you know. And it's funny because the other Richard Overton was 100 and something like 104, 105.
Wow. So if he hadn't drank,
maybe you don't know what else.
you don't. I mean,
corner.
My father
these days in particular, but I'd say he lived a long life really fast.
Yeah.
He got a lot packed into it.
Yeah. Yeah, my father would be 105.
Well, I'm sure the two of them would hit it off.
I bet. My father, he loved music. I mean, he played the violin, but whatever.
They'd have been pals.
And he served in World War II too. Okay.
They might very well have been friends.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was known as this big guy who would fight against the racism and the anti-Semitism in the ranks. And Calvin Albert, the sculptor and artist, was being bullied by these other guys in the rank. And dad knocked a couple of them out.
Good for him. I mean, and your grandmother, I mean, that's fucking, you're from like royalty. I just put that in. I bet there's,
I don't know.
I bet there's some Jew in there. Anyway, so.
Gee, we were all working class people.
Yeah.
To one degree. The mom came out of a little more money at first, but by the time she was hooked up with dad, that's not the sort of person the family usually associates with.
Right.
And certainly not his friends.
Right.
So I did come out of a WASPy thing that way too. And out of a weapons industry kind of, you know, very connected, but we are the boat people, the yacht.
Right.
Well, when I say boat, you mean yacht, of course. You mean we own the boat.
Yes.
That's how you get names like Dithy and all that. But then she wasn't going for that. She started pushing back. Mom's mom was pushing back against it. And mom took the cue and pushed back more.
I love that.
So we didn't inherit all of that money. But I think what they inherited instead is a sense of self that might be worth more.
Right. And look at the offspring. I mean, you know, a lot of people know you've been in so many movies. You have an incredible acting career. I mean, you are the consummate comedian who was an actor, but you also wrote, and you wrote for the Dennis Miller Show. You won an Emmy. And what the fuck happened there? That's what I'm dying. What happened to him?
He said after 9/11 that shook him very deeply, and that he it strengthened a sense of where he thought the inadequacies in the country were, and it made him go right to where he thought the compensation was for that.
Right.
And so he stated so publicly. He is dramatically shifted, shaken, and traumatized by 9/11.
Right.
And that
still,
his philosophies went back. And he always had a little bit of it, even in his swipes at the larger structures of things. He always had a sort of right-wing bent at times. And some would say that's a sense of fairness and balance to a larger market. And, you know, I guess you could defend it on that level. But my material was more kind of pushing left, and so was Feldman and Leah and those other guys. And there are other ones that would give you, you know, just give you right down the middle, great, strong, unbelievably solid stuff for that.
Right.
But my brain wrote sort of, I you know, write what you know. It also is write what you believe.
Right.
My brain writes what I believe. And so the material started to become less and less of what was being taken, you know.
Right.
And by the time it was over and we had lost the Emmy to which we didn't think was really like, how do you put us up against a comedy special?
Right.
That's not why. What is with these categories
ridiculous.
They're mixing too many things in there to choose from. It's not. So, yeah. And then things started really then we're going to go further. Right. And there was less of a place. You know, but we're still friends. I care about them. And, you know, I don't know what else to say.
It's not like when I was a kid where no one, like you were on the opposite side, no one cared. It wasn't that much different. I mean, it was different. It was very different, but it wasn't like, okay, you're adding, I mean, the GOP is out of their, like anyone who supports that motherfucker, there's something wrong with it. I mean, he's a liar. He's a cheat. He, you know, I don't know. It's just mind boggling.
I would say that's half the problem right there.
Right.
Hey everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Cheese. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
Robin Williams. You worked with him. You were friends with him. That must have been a really fucking awful shock to you.
It was, yes. I had known that there were things wrong. Bobcat had been saying so. He's having some trouble. And that's he was also being very diplomatic about how he was putting it. He was saying, there's some issues. There's some trouble going on. And I hope everything's going to be okay. And I didn't know, and maybe I didn't want to know the full exponent of that statement because you know where that's headed.
Right.
And I didn't want to go there yet. I didn't want to add energy to that. And so that's where it went. He was leaving us. And Louis, we didn't know enough about Louis's body dementia at the time, but the studies have subsequent to his passing gone into greater detail, and maybe there'll be some benefit to this horrific death by other people being able, and we don't know what to do to catch it and stop it quite yet, but maybe you have to start by asking the right question to get the right answer.
Right. Your career is so diverse, and you have worked with some of the, you know, legends. I would also consider you a legend. Was there any series of things that you thought, like you pinched yourself, like, oh my God, or you thought, this is it? Did you have any sort of experiences like that?
I thought Willow was one of those.
Yeah.
We weren't sure where the movie itself would go, but it sure looked like fun.
Right.
You know, and I'd learned just enough to know you don't put all your hope eggs in any single basket, but that you do your best and it's right about time to look for the next gig as soon as you've wrapped.
That's a very important. I learned that very quickly, you know, like you can't live like I did this three, you know, 2 years ago or what, you know, where's my net? You cannot sit on your you gotta fucking recreate and reinvent and recreiate and reinvent. It's so
Stops.
Yeah.
It should never stop. It should be like Dick Van Dyke or Mel Brooks.
I love when you go.
That you would have the drive to completely abandon society's rules for what should be happening to you right now. No, I'm sorry. My desires override your rules.
Right. Was there anything anyone ever said to you that you were like that changed you or any sort of or changed your attitude or taught you? Like, I mean, look at Jonathan Winters. I mean, if you don't know Jonathan Winters, if anyone's listening, you have to go watch Jonathan Winters.
Oh, yes. Now. Look at The Stick. The Stick. That's the on stick. The, I think it's on the Park Show. And, right. Or no, it's a, but it is the Tonight Show.
Right.
And he's on late night and they just offer him a stick. And just go, Jonathan.
Right.
And that was a kind of an act of faith back in the early days of TV,
oh, yeah.
But they knew it. Not when it's not an act of faith when it's Jonathan.
Right.
You don't have to screen it. It's going to get laughs. It's going to be good. And oh, by the way, I got on my podcast overview. I got Jonathan's last interview.
No fucking way. I got to listen to that.
I didn't know that was the case.
Right.
I just thought this is interview one and we're going to have some more fun and I'll get back soon. And but he was battling with his illnesses and his diabetes. Right. And it was the last one, but it's a long interview. And he also has absolute 100% clarity.
Right.
He is 100% clear in this interview and wise and laying some heavy stuff down as well as the funny.
Right.
But it goes everywhere. He talks about his childhood and the abuses he was put yeah. through and the lovelessness that made him create these characters. It's just spectacular.
Oh, so, I got to listen to that.
That's I want you name. To listen to it. Yeah, I think
I'm
going
to hike
it.
To that podcast.
Yeah. 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 It's called Overview. Yeah. Jonathan was a huge influence on me, even in his acting. He proved you can do both. And he right. showed up in a lot of great stuff. You know,
what was your favorite? Well, I guess you have a lot of favorites, but did you ever think like, oh, I'm a comedian? I mean, I do a lot of different things too. Did you ever think, because I have always thought, oh, if I had done this, then I could have gone in this path. And if I had stayed doing that, I could have done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mm-hmm. often think.
I don't know. I think I probably opened my big mouth and I pushed my politics in certain places where I know. And look, if you ever see my 1991 HBO special. You see, I'm talking about it's a much bigger issue than the right wing and the left wing. We are
right.
force-fed like baby birds, and that it's the corruption is much bigger and deeper than all of that.
Right.
And that special at the time, people were all telling me it was really funny, and late night doors slammed in my face after
right.
that. And without late night at that time, you don't
forget
have
it.
A road career.
Yes.
Anymore. And so that. You can see it on YouTube broken up into 5 segments. And it is my special. You can see all the buttons I pushed with that special.
Right.
And I think I changed the course of my career with that special. I wouldn't have done it any other way, but I was surprised to see how many things started to
I thought I was a loose cannon
or something, you know?
Right. Oh, please. That's my whole... Oh, she's loud. She's, and then when I came out, it was like, okay, no, you can't. I'm like, don't tell me what I can and cannot talk about, you know? And
what
now,
year was that? When were they saying this to you, by the way?
96.
Don't come
96,
out.
96.
In 96, they didn't know any better by 96.
Yeah.
They didn't know better in the 1990s.
Right. Mid 90s. It was like, no, don't talk about that. Don't talk. And I'm like, I'm going to talk about my life. And it's so funny yeah. because then you look at what you did in 91. And then you look now how you would be a fucking hero. Right?
Well, I think they would pay more attention.
Right.
They were paying attention, by the way, in Chicago when I did it. They were right. they're all listening and applauding.
Right.
And maybe someone didn't like how much that they were.
Right.
But, and they've certainly shown their hand because they play poker with the hand facing outward now.
Right,
they're so
exactly.
fucking obvious. I think things are coming to a head. It might not all go through the same channels anymore. My new comedy special is on Comedy Dynamics.
Yeah. Your new comedy special, by the way, is incredible. So, you know, there's this show
Thanks.
Called Setlist that I was never asked to do.
Oh, Judy, we have to fix that.
Uh-huh.
Get you on
oh,
Setlist.
So your new special is Setlist, which if anyone has not seen this, it's, and I, you know, I was watching and I'm like, the genius in the way you do the Setlist. What happens is there's a screen and something will come up like Raisin Bran or something. And
yeah, but it's not even Raisin Bran.
Right.
It's Raisin right. Brain or something
right,
like that.
Right.
They mix, they switch a letter. Now you got to explain right. the more complicated one.
You're such a genius at it because instead of looking and then reacting, you set up, you do sort of like, you're like, you know, if you were a conductor, it would be like you do a downbeat and then turn, you know what I mean?
I try to get myself into more trouble because now I have to get out of that.
Right.
I try to dig a deeper ditch because it's pretty, I think it's pretty funny watching me flop around in the mud trying to get out of a ditch.
Right. But that, but that is jazz. That is jazz too. Like that's
verbal,
so
verbal,
like,
theatrical jazz.
Yeah, I'm going to introduce a theme here. And I watched that and I was like, fuck. I can't believe I have never fucking, I would love to do something like
that. You have to fix that. And we're going to work. I'm going to insist on
God
a way to
it.
Do this back in New York. I'm going to talk to the guys and see if someone can't be a New York host for that.
Yeah.
And you can't do it because then you can't do it if you're the host.
Oh, well, I could come to LA, Rick. You know, I do. There's this thing called Airplanes.
Yes. Come on out. Come on out and do it.
Yeah. I love it. And I love Green Room. Green Room.
Wasn't that innovative?
I never fucking did it. Goddamn Paul Provenza. But that was great too. Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very innovative coming in mid conversation like that. But it influenced lots of things subsequently.
Right. I mean, plus Tough Crowd. I loved Tough Crowd. I used to do that all the time with Colin Quinn. You know,
that was also another very intimate. It was intimate and it was real and shit would go down.
Right.
I couldn't believe how many times
right.
it would get mixed up on the show. And I'm thinking, were they forcing that for interesting views? No, I think these guys are really fighting. I know comics.
Yeah.
This is a real fight.
Well, I used to get in fights with Patrice and,
yes.
you know, but then it was like, you're done and you're just fucking hugging each other. I mean, it really is, you know, yeah. There's something about comics and the way we interact that's so real and fascinating because we don't have edit buttons. That's the thing. We don't have edit buttons. That's why we're funny.
Yeah.
And
right.
yeah. So your new special, it's just great. And it's, you know, people don't realize that I was watching it and I was thinking so many people get on stage and they'll try out new material and be, you know, like, I forgot who I was talking to who said that Ronnie Shakes used to go up on stage. It was Wayne Fetterman. And he'd go on stage with a pad. And he'd have a premise and he'd try out each punchline and he'd cross it out if it didn't work. And then he'd try the next punchline, you know, and here you are here. Talk about that here. Talk about that. It's, and you cannot take a fucking, it's the focus. You can't say, oh, that guy has a green shirt on in your head. Cause that'll be the end of it. You know,
you can't stop for anything. Your conscious mind is
right.
whispering to you at the time. You have to stay in your subconscious because your subconscious is DSL.
Right.
Your conscious mind is dial up.
Right.
It will never, ever, ever keep up. It
right.
wasn't designed to. It's a memory device. It's going back through files to look for every word because one is backwards. So left brain goes backwards.
Right.
That's memory. Goes backwards.
Right.
But right brain goes forwards to imagination. The left brain doesn't know it's not in charge. Because it recorded
right.
everything. It must be the one that came up with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't know its job. It wasn't meant to save you at any moment, except when your unconscious mind reaches at the speed of light to assemble sentences. It's a servant to the other side.
You know, it's so funny because when I'm on stage and I'm trying something new or, and then it like comes up forward, you know, like, and it's like, yeah, I can't, if that for a comic is, like, I'm like, yes, you know, it's so, if you just let it.
Trust.
Yes, trust.
Allow, because
yeah.
it's smarter than you. It's smarter than me. It's teaching us.
Right.
And our conscious mind, reluctantly kicking and screaming and dragging,
right.
gets to be educated in the process, especially if we start taking command and telling it.
Right.
No, you stay out of this for an hour now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have you back as soon as I'm in the car.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. You don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co, and it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
Rick, that commercial with the kid and the
hammer. The hammer.
Yeah, is the fucking funniest thing ever. Like, I was just like, oh my God, that's fucking hilarious. What?
And you know, my performance was much bigger when they were trying it.
Right.
Son, pick up the hammer. He won't pick it up. Why won't you pick up the hammer, son? Come on, man. Pick up the hammer.
Yeah.
No, down, down, down. Pick up the hammer. No, no, down, down, down. Pick up the hammer. No, no. Just look at me. Look at me. Just say it. Pick up the hammer. That's it. That again.
Pick up. It's so good. It's so good.
Oh, and I was, you know, and the comedian's going, is that funny? Is that going to work?
Right.
Trust.
Yeah,
when you see it in this setting, you got to know the setting to know where small is giant.
Right. What do you still have on the agenda for yourself that you...
More set list specials. That was the one thing you can do. I don't have to work a year.
Right.
To build up my next roll of material.
Right.
Boom, 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 baby. I can just keep going. It's like doing tomorrow night, you got a set list. Oh, and a Saturday, you got one too.
Right.
Boom, boom, boom.
Do you take any of that material and use it, you know, if you were going to do... Yeah. Right?
Sometimes, yes. Yeah. On occasion, it's happened because some parts of it are just a treat for us. Because it's the first time we're hearing this too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's, I think, what you were talking about a moment ago. When you did this thing and you blew your own mind.
Yeah.
It's that same place.
The best.
It's just used in, one is used in this game and the other is used on your own set. You made your own game out of it.
Right.
There's ways to do it without that. It's just, that's kind of like you really get an extra something because they're these weird words you have to put together and make an explanation. But it's all fun. The more trouble you get yourself into in the beginning, the more fun you have getting out.
Yeah. And as a comic watching it, I'm like, oh, I fucking say this or, oh, you know.
Oh,
like
we all do that.
The circumcision one. I was like, you know, the circumcision.
Circumcision. Yeah.
I love that.
What did you have?
I was just thinking, you know, I
what would you have gone?
I juggle foreskin in the air, you know. I was just like, yep.
Oh, you'd be great at this game.
Oh,
you would,
it.
You know. I know it, and it's going to start up. It can't go away forever.
I just got the we have to wrap up thing, even though I could talk to you. I know. Ooh. I could talk to you for
We could do a cross-country drive, me and
that's
you.
That's right,
That would be a TV special.
But we need a big fucking car because I have long legs, too. yeah, you know, my son who just came in, he's 6'8". So
get on out of here. Well, that's fun. I thought I had fun buying jeans.
Yeah, no, it's the and he's a 16 shoe, which is the fucking I trip over his fucking shoes all the time. It's so annoying. Anyway, before I wrap it up, because she's sending me wrap it up.
Oh,
what the fuck it? What happened to your lip? A dog bit your lip off?
Yeah. Yeah. I was at a friend's house. They'd rescued a Dalmatian and I didn't realize this indented part on the sofa that I was sitting on. That's the sleeping spot. That's why it's a dent. I didn't understand that. And it kept going, pushing me with his nose.
No one said.
They were out of the room. They were out of the room. I was alone. And I went, hey, buddy. Hey, do. And I pushed him on top of his head, but evidently he was abused.
Oh.
And so he went, and just bit me in the face. And so I lost an inch of my mouth. Everything's pulled off to the right. So I keep the facial fuzz. You can't really tell if you look at it, right?
No, you but can't tell. But my frenulum is mustache.
I got the Stacey Keach now. It's off to one side.
Wow. And,
hey, look, everybody.
What if your friends must have fucking been freaking out.
They felt pretty bad, you know.
And what happened with the dog? I hope nothing.
It wasn't the first time.
Oh. All right.
It was a city decision after that.
Yeah. Ugh, terrible.
I didn't want any of it. I didn't want this, didn't want that. But, you know, it makes you find out what else you can still do.
Right.
Who else still needs me? Well, I can still act. Right afterwards, I got, you know, the informant. And I got some more shows. I got Chaos and things like that. And so I was working, leverage.
Yeah, but I can't grow a fucking mustache, Rick. Okay. I can't. I mean, I probably could actually at this point.
But you didn't lose any part of that lip.
I know. I'm saying if it happened to me.
Go with the mustache.
Okay.
Paste the mustache. Big curly thing like that.
Do you still audition? Like, do you have to go on tape or do you have to, or are they like, Rick, do you want to this?
Yeah, I was just auditioning for Hunters.
Really?
You know, the show on Amazon, Hunters.
Yeah.
And the right age, I could be the person. Why? I'm just a local shoemaker. I don't remember anything about the war. Last season, it would have been Pacino or something like that. But, you know, I don't know. So I tried out a couple of times. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, we're saying, but I'm still going up for stuff. I go over to my manager, Bruce's office.
I love Bruce Smith. I love him. Tell him I said hi. I love him.
I will absolutely tell him. And so
and he puts you on tape?
Yeah, he reads with me and then we send it on in, you know?
He's a real manager. He's one of the old time real managers that,
He manages. He manages.
Yeah. I love
that. Keeps an eye on. Yeah, guides.
So, okay, here's the two questions I always ask my guests. Number one, we're very pro mental health. I suffer from, depression, anxiety. I'm on meds. Whatever. So, what do you do for your mental health?
I used to do Krav Maga. And through Master Michael Burton.
Right. Oh, yeah. I love him.
And then they closed. And so I practice on my own and I do some Wing Chun Kung Fu.
Right.
Invented by a woman 400 years ago. And I meditate.
Yeah, me too.
And I hike.
Yeah.
And something about putting one foot in front of the other gets your thoughts in a line.
Yes.
It makes you see what's going on around you and your senses wake up and they remind your brain not to go down that rabbit hole too far. Yeah,
that's right. You got to force yourself.
So physical activity.
Yes,
you know, I mean,
same.
I'm keeping my weight down. I don't want to have pandemic weight. So I realized and I'm cooking for myself. I'm not eating giant guilty portions that I think my depression parents would want to see me finish. I'm making the size I would eat if it was just me. And
I love
cooking. I'm feeling better.
That pandemic, I know. And I love planning it out. Okay, I'm going to do this first. And it's
Yeah, that's to me, that's like Zen.
Yeah, exactly.
Fixing a meal is Zen for me. I'm very happy. I don't know if the word is foodie. I don't know what it is.
Right. But, I'm the same way now. I used to be like, oh, fuck. Because I was on the road all the time. It was like, hi, can I get a turkey club? And, and now I'm like, okay, what am I going to make? And I set a certain amount of hour. And I'm like, I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to marinate that. And it's like so fun. And I have a thing, a goal.
Don't you love how much better your version is?
Yes.
Yes.
And you know what's in it. It's so great.
I know everything. I got all the ingredients and I feel like I'm kind of the master chef today.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Second question. You know, I call the podcast Kill Me Now, which I'm going to have to fucking change because now Brandeis came out with a list of phrases and one of them that you can't say. One of them is I'm going to kill myself and kill me now. So fuck them. Anyway.
Oh, what's the new title going to be?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
It's Judy's show.
It's Judy's show. Yeah, we should. So the reason I call Kill Me Now is because I get aggravated every 5 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, kill me now. I can't take anymore. What pisses you off more than anything in the entire world? Like,
oh, I don't
so
know.
When
I'm driving under underpasses and these are people that could absolutely have been not only family, neighbors, friends, that the billionaire club goes, hey, everybody, Operation So Long Suckers is go.
Oh,
we're
going
to go into outer space with billions of dollars while we go, piss, 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 champagne, Mylar, squish.
Yeah. It's fucking amazing. People like laying in the middle of the street, and I'm going to go to space for 3 minutes.
Yeah. Look, they all look like ants from down there. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, right? That money. How they could have been lauded as heroes.
Right.
Into perpetuity.
Right.
Had they taken that launch, which was inevitable in the future anyway.
Right.
And this money instead went to solve this problem.
Right.
They would be statues.
Right.
And all the mean jokes about them would go away.
Right.
But they are treating this like they know they are fucked because this place is. And they are starting to make plans to be
that's
in orbit
right.
by the time it goes bad.
Right. I totally agree. It's so fucking infuriating. You know, you see these people. I know. I can't.
So we agree on that one. That is.
Oh, please. I'm just.
High tech. Fancy
schools,
talk bullshit.
Schools. Food. Water.
Yeah, water system in Michigan. That would be nice. You could fix it in a moment. You could take away student debt. You could take away servitude on that level. This gig economy is a thing of necessity. It wasn't a first choice.
Right. Fuck!
It makes me fucking mad.
It makes me
it
mad
raises
too.
My Scottish anger. Oh, the Highlander comes out of me when times like this present themselves.
Fucking assholes.
Fucking arseholes.
Rick. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, this is so much fun.
I love you. Oh, I adore you. I love
you
your life. I love your whole history. You're just a fucking gem.
You are too, my darling. We've been best of friends. We've been family since the moment we met.
Yes.
And I'm very honored to be in yours.
Thank you.
And thanks for sharing the word about my special.
Oh, I can't watch it, motherfuckers. And listen to Jonathan Winters on Overview.
Yes.
Where can everyone find you? Are you on the Twitter and the Instagram?
Yes, either Amerilad or at Rick Overton on Twitter.
Okay, all right. You're the best. Thank you, Rick.
You're the best. Love you. Thank you, Judy, so much.
Mwah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with Rick Overton, one of the greatest actors, performers, I've ever encountered. I just love this guy and his whole life. I mean, isn't he fascinating? He's just fascinating. I hope you enjoyed my interview with Rick. Oh, I want to thank the people who work on the podcast. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast and my life would not be possible without the one and only Brittany Jo Sowards. If you are listening and you're not a subscriber, I want to kill you. So please subscribe. Please give me 5 stars only. 5 stars. And then tell everyone about it. Because, you know, it helps other people find the podcast. And then I can keep doing it. Because God only knows I make no money from this.
Also, if you haven't purchased my book, yes, I can say that when they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. Or if you're going on a trip, you know, because it is August, you might want to get the audiobook, which was featured in the New York Times book review, but it doesn't matter because my parents are dead. So you can find all of the stuff at my website, judygold.com. You can find out where I'm performing, which I'm in Provincetown. I am going to, in September, I'll be in Minneapolis. I have other gigs coming up, but I can't remember them because I'm menopausal. Also, you need to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at JEWDYGOLD because I'm Jewish. I don't know if you knew that because I try to hide it. And that's it. I will do my vaccination speech right now. If you're not vaccinated, go fuck yourself. That's my vaccination speech, unless you have an autoimmune problem and you're not allowed to get vaccinated. Otherwise, please go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself with the COVID virus. How's that? And everyone else, please stay safe. Please enjoy, you know, your families and the whatever we have left of this summer. Okay, because God knows what's ahead. Yeah, no one knows. And if you're still listening to me talking, I can't tell you how much I love you for listening to the very end. Because we have a little special time together here at the end, the people who stay on. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate it. And as we always say, so long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.